Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm Jeff Howard, and I'm very excited because I have three wonderful people with me on Zoom, and I'm just going to go for this. I've got Maria Somova, Mark Solari, and Joe Cyrus. Hey, you three.
What's up, Jeff?
Hello.
We just had a kick-ass conversation. One might even call it an interview about the film that they all collaborated on that Maria wrote and directed, and it's called I Want to Live on Mars. And people should listen to the podcast before this one and learn all about that wonderful film and these three talented people who were critical to getting it made. But this podcast ain't going to be about that. This is a four questions episode, which means Mark, Joe, and Maria are going to answer these four questions, which are: name three favorite films, name an underrated film, name an overrated film, and name a lesser-known film to seek out. I know these questions are sometimes a little tough, but that's why, like, it's the wording is name three favorite films. It doesn't have to be the three best of all time. It doesn't have to be your top three, just three films you really, three things you love. Because Lord knows, if you ask me, like, I'm like, well, I actually have to name like 10 to 20 films, if you don't mind. So I get it, but who wants to go first? I guess, should Maria go first?
I can.
Yeah, go for it. Just name three films that you love.
So I guess I'll just, I'm just going to say like this. I'm going to say that the films that probably influenced me the most or just kind of, I've watched them over and over and over and over again, and I'm still, every time I watch it, it just blows my mind. Three of those movies are Possession by Andrei Jarlovsky, The Mirror by Andrei Tarkovsky, and Repulsion by Roman Polanski. So that's the three movies that watch them millions of times and blow my mind every single time. The movie that I love very dearly, that's complete opposite from the films that I just named, is Boogie Nights by P.T. Anderson. I absolutely love that movie, and I love every single character in that film. And I think Roller Girl is one of my favorite characters, period, that was ever written. And I think I just have a lot of love for that film and for the cast and for the story, and I've seen it many, many times, and it makes me cry and laugh over and over, and absolutely love that movie.
Yeah, wonderfully crafted. I mean, all four. I haven't seen all three, but I had a little Tarkovsky phase, I guess, way back when. And yeah, talk about masters. Just brilliantly constructed films. All right, well, who wants to go next? Mark?
Sure. I guess my three favorite films are like The Maltese Falcon, Swept Away by an Unusual Destiny, and The Blue Tide of August, and Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
Raiders, there you go.
Love it.
Excellent. All right, well, that sets, by the way, great list. Fun list. I'm with you on Raiders.
Yeah.
I kind of wish they'd stopped after one, but that kind of goes for almost all movie series for me. All right, Joe, you want to go?
Yeah, so mine's not going to be what you expect, but I would actually say for me, like the one that stands out the most by far for me is The Sound of Music. Then I would say Pi from Aronofsky, and probably The Shining from Kubrick. But since Masha named four and we're talking about one we just watch over and over and over again, this one's really stupid, but Tommy Boy. I love that movie with Chris Farley. I could watch that movie 1,000 more times. And it's fantastic.
I hear you. In fact, I debated in my head whether to do the lesser known people should seek out for question number four or guilty pleasure.
Guilty
but
pleasure.
All that I love Pie and Sound of Music.
That's my favorite film. I just think it's like pretty much perfect film the way it's shot, like everything about it, like the story is something that everyone can relate to. You know, it's not only like personally important, but it's historically important. You know, I just think it's just great.
Well, I will allow myself to lose the respect of many, many people when I say I've never seen it.
Yeah.
Well, something to look forward to.
Yeah, I have to. And I'll add that Pi is a wonderful special film. And I actually, that was one of my first dates with the person I'm now spending the rest of my life with. I took her to see a private screening of Pi.
Oh,
with awesome. A Q&A of with Aronofsky afterwards when he was nobody.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Stuck with you after that. You're good.
Yeah. That's a kick ass. That's such a good indie film. I'm not sure he's ever done anything as good as that, but maybe I'm being a jerk. All right. Question number two is a film that is underrated. I guess we can do the same order. Maria, you want to go first?
Yeah, I think that the movie that I absolutely love, and I feel like not a lot of people heard about it, or at least when I bring it up, it was like, huh, what? I have never heard of it. It's called Leave No Trace by Deborah Granik, who did the Winter's Bone. I feel like a lot of people seen Winter's Bone, but not a lot of people seen Leave No Trace. And I think that one of those movies that I mean, it's basically about a father and a daughter living off the grid. And what a beautiful movie. It's one of those movies, it's like from the beginning to the end, it's just such a beautiful, film. I don't know how else to describe it. And I just, I've seen it so many times. And I remember like the ending of the film, and it's not something that you expect. It's not how you expect the film to end. And oh my God, the ending scene, I cry every single time. It just, one of those films.
I'm guilty of all those other people you named. I hadn't even heard of it, but I'm one of the, most people who care about movies saw Winter's Bone when it was out because it was such a powerful, and it really hit the zeitgeist of the moment, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hadn't heard of Leave No Trace.
Fantastic movie.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'll put on this. And by the way, any movie that makes me cry, I greatly appreciate it, because as a repressed American male, I need help crying as often as possible. Feels so good. Feels so good to let it out. All right, Mark, you got an underrated film?
Yeah, Putney Swope. It's such a, it's a, from the late 60s, I think, early 70s, and it's such a, directed by Robert Downey Sr., and it's such a wonderfully anarchic and political and hilarious, you know. I don't know if you, it's horribly made. I think their budget was like $100, but it is a beautiful movie.
I actually did see that way back when. And it is always wild to think that Robert Downey Sr. was such a, you know, almost like a pre-Cassavetes kind of cinema revolutionary. Mm-hmm. And then his son just becomes like one of the biggest movie stars in the world.
Right. But I think that's where Putney Swope's where he got addicted.
For sure. Excellent. All right. And Joe, you got a film that you feel is underrated?
Yeah, I'm going to pivot from what I was going to say. And actually, I'm going to say Outside Providence by the Farrelly Brothers. I feel like, you know, they did Dumb and Dumber. They did There's Something About Mary. A lot of people know, you know, some of their bigger works. But Outside Providence is just like one of those stories I think is really relatable to people. And it's a very understated movie. It's not, you know, it's not quite as big as some of the previous stuff, but I feel like it's one of those movies that can have you rolling on the floor the whole time. And at the end of the movie, you want to hug every character. Like, and I love it.
Yeah, I mean that's their not over the top coming of age movie.
Right. Exactly.
Because they grew up there and they just told a really sincere story. Yeah, that's Yeah, no, that is a nice pick for underrated. Because yeah, everyone just goes on and on about their over the top comedies.
Right.
And they don't appreciate that one. Excellent. All right. Third question, and this one I won't even I'll resist my urge to qualify it. Just using the word, a film that's overrated.
So, I'm not a fan of, like, I don't really watch superhero movies, like, and the reason why is because a lot of them are based on comic books, and the comic books is not really very popular, very common where I grew up. So I didn't really like get into comics ever really, but then I did like read some comics when I moved here and I did appreciate them. And but still I don't really watch, and I think comic books, there's some amazing comic books out there and I can really appreciate the art and the storytelling, but it doesn't always translate into films. And I know that the movie that I'm about to make is probably a lot of people about the name the film, a lot of people will probably disagree with me, and I know that a lot of people like love that movie, and I know like it raised a lot of money, you know, like it's a huge success. This movie was a huge success. But one of my friends took me to see Suicide Squad, the first one, and I was like, no, there's no way. And I was like, I know it's just not gonna be my cup of tea, so. And but she's like, no, listen, there's like a lot of, it's a great cast, it's gonna be funny, like just give it a shot. And I remember I straight up fell asleep like 10 minutes into the movie, and that was my experience with that particular movie. I can't even actually tell you if it was great or what it was like, because I literally fell asleep. So I guess I don't really have a feedback on what it was like. I haven't seen it ever since. I just literally 10 minutes after, it just, yeah.
I remember being disappointed a bit with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, superhero movies are, they've become a dime a dozen anyway.
Yep.
You have to be really damn good to make a decent superhero movie. But anyway. All right. Mark, you got an overrated?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been watching a lot of the award season movies lately. So my overrated movie is Ferrari. And much like Maria, I kept falling asleep during it. And when I was watching it, I was just pissed off that I was watching it. But I'm always like an optimist. I always feel like if I'm watching a bad movie, I keep hoping it's going to get better, you know? But No. I thought it was one giant cliche. Very well filmed, a beautiful cliche, but a boring movie.
I've heard that. And Adam, I think I saw a review of it that said something along the lines of they still haven't figured out what to do with Adam Driver on screen.
I'll tell you, it's probably his best role, and it was still so boring.
There you go. Excellent. And Joe, you got an overrated?
Yeah, I have strong opinions like these two. So we went to the drive-in in LA and we saw Hereditary. And act one, I was like, okay, I'm feeling this. I think this can go somewhere. Act two, I was kind of like, oh, this isn't working out. Maybe they can save it. And then act three, when Toni Collette climbs on the walls, I actually laughed so loud that people shushed me at the drive-in because I was laughing so hard because I thought it was the dumbest thing I ever saw. And I just, same thing. I feel like the ending to that movie was just pandering to like current social climate and just totally missed the mark of where that movie could have gone. And instead it went to a sort of like what I see as like preachy, like misamalgamated like pontification. I just didn't like it. I think, to be fair, most horror movies today kind of fall short of what I consider to be scary or good horror movies, but that one in particular, with especially with Toni Collette, who I think is such a great actress, I was just, we walked out of there and I was like, man, that was stupid. Man, that movie was so dumb.
I'm not going to quarrel with you. I didn't see it till it was on streaming or whatever, and everyone was raving. And I was like, what did I miss?
Yep.
But then interestingly, the next film from that director, Midsommar, I thought, oh my God, he's brilliant.
Yeah.
I love that film. And I think everyone loves her, and everyone names Hereditary as like one of the best films in the recent era. And I'm like, what do you mean? That same director's next film is way better. Fair enough. All right. Hey, we're closing in. Question number four. And Maria, you kind of covered this with your favorites, but a lesser known film for people to seek out.
You know, Crooklyn by Spike Lee.
Ooh, good call.
I feel it's like one of his older films. And because it's, you know, was made long time ago, a lot of people kind of just forgot about it or just haven't seen it. Because he has so many great movies and he's been consistently making so many great films, you know. But it's like one of the first ones that he made. And man, I absolutely love that movie. And the funny thing is, like, I'm a big fan of Spike Lee, and even myself, like, I kind of missed it. And then Joey was the one who told me about it. He's like, hey, like, we got to watch Crooklyn. And we did. And man, what a masterpiece, that film. Everyone has to see it. And the character of Mom in that film, it just never leaves my mind. She's just, I mean, what a powerful portrait of mother, you know?
And a wonderful film about a family.
Absolutely.
Can I add one thing on there too? When we were watching it the last time, we noticed that in the scene when they go down south, I was like, wait, did the screen get like... I was like, is the format different? Did it like change? It looks like it's distorted. And like, I was like, it looks like they like messed up when they tried to translate this film from the big screen to the movie. And then we looked it up and he actually did that intentionally. And I guess it was to show that the worldview in the South was always kind of distorted, especially from the point of view of African-American folks. But it was just something that I hadn't noticed the first few times I watched it, and it really stood out to me. And I was like, oh shit, like that was really cool.
No, I'm in the camp that Spike Lee's a master.
Yeah.
So people don't respect the full catalog. I don't know why. But I was just the right age when She's Gotta Have It came out to just be a huge fan of every film as they came out. So, and they were always great, always great. And continue to be. And he's a great documentarian. I could go on about it. All right. Well, now we go to Mark for a lesser known film that people should look up.
Okay. Well, this, I want to qualify. This isn't really like so much of a lesser known movie, but I think it's a movie I think every actor should watch. And it's The Odd Couple with Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon, who are so, to me, extraordinary in that movie. And I think, and maybe some of their acting's a little obvious, I don't know, but I love it because I love watching them. And, you know, I'm not a big Neil Simon fan, but they take his work and really elevate it.
Two of the funniest people who ever lived. Or two of the best comic actors ever.
That's right. I mean, I think that's the thing, because, you know, a lot of people say they're comedians, but I watch it and I say, these guys are great actors, you know.
Yeah, no. Funny at every level. Great one. And truth, I haven't seen that in forever. And Lord knows the TV series was so huge that it kind of people kind of forgot about the where it came from.
Right, right. And they, you know, they were good in their own respect, but, you know, Matthau and Lemon, just masters.
Masters, absolutely. All right, Joe, you get to bat cleanup.
All right, I'm going to say Mandy with Nicolas Cage. It's like a very low-budget, indie kind of approach to a film that I didn't expect a lot out of. And by the end of it, I was like, holy shit, this movie's really good. Like,
yeah, Mandy's a fantastic film.
It's shot unbelievably. Like, it's the premise of the film's crazy good. It's scary. It has kind of all the elements I love in a good film. And there's like a strong redemption of the hero at the end. Like, it's a really cool film, and most people don't know about it.
Yeah, that's from his. I haven't seen it, but that's what, like, one in like the last 5-6 years, like when he was
about 5 years. Yeah,
yeah.
Post,
yeah. The soundtrack is amazing too.
Like post IRS disaster, where he just like had to do anything for a dollar for a little while. But that's one of the. But I've heard he has said he did some of his best work in that period that everyone shits on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he's great.
Awesome, excellent. All right, great, cool. Man, I wish I got to develop some kind of, you know, caffeine habit so that I can stay up and not sleep for a couple months, because there's too many films I got to watch. Mm-hmm. You all just named, I mean, I certainly want to watch Mandy and Sound of Music. I have someday, but I got to revisit Putney. So there's a lot of films to revisit thanks to this chat.
Right on.
All right, okay. You three. Well, we'll make sure that I Want to Live on Mars is a clickable link on this one as well. People should listen to the podcast before this one if you want to hear more about I Want to Live on Mars, which is the film that Maria, Mark, and Joe collaborated on, written and directed by Maria. And I will get us out of here with my closing spiel, which is thank you for listening to the Discover Indie Film Podcast. Please give it 5 stars, like, subscribe, follow, whatever the F you can do to help out a little podcast that's devoted to people who frickin' work their asses off to make movies. And you know, they're not flying private is all I'll say. And if you want to learn more about this podcast or the TV series that was born from it, just go to discoverindiefilm.com. On social media, it's always at DIF Wins. I Want to Live on Mars won awards and was an official selection at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival. That's where I first saw it. So if you want to learn more about that festival that we hold every November, go to ShermanOaksFF.com. And it's at ShermanOaksFF on social media. It has a sister festival that we hold every June called Film Invasion Los Angeles. You can learn more at filminvasionla.com, and it's at filminvasionla on social media. And the last thing I'll ask anyone to do is go to watchtvhigh.com or type in TVHI on Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, Android TV, iPhone or iPad or Android mobile. Check it out. It's a cool little thing that's mostly populated by indie films. And thank you, Maria. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Appreciate
it. Yeah. Thanks for doing the great work. And thank you, everyone, for listening.